Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
It has now come time to worship God in prayer. And as our customers here, if you have a special praise or a special request that you want to present before God, then we invite you to come to the front as we kneel before God in prayer.
Our loving Father in heaven, we've come here to this morning on your holy Sabbath day to worship you. Grateful to be your children, we're grateful that you watch over us day by day, that you have supplied all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you have redeemed us through the blood of Jesus, and that today we are here to worship you because of that. We are here because you have given us the blessed hope that one day soon we're going to see you come in the clouds of heaven to take us home. Father, we worship you because of this morning. And we have come not only to be present here, but to give our hearts once again to you. Father, today, Pastor Santos is here to present your word and to share something that you have shared with him that has been very effective. Lord, we pray that you'll bless him, bless his message, bless his family, and bless the time that they're here with us today. We pray that as we seek to work for you, to finish the gospel commission, that you will show us just how every one of us can be involved in this wonderful process of leading souls to Jesus. Father, bless our visitors today that are with us. May they leave here with a special blessing knowing they've been with you. Father, we pray also for those who are not able to be here for physical reasons, health reasons, whatever the reason may be. May they know that they have a church family that loves them. May they feel your presence today, and may they worship you wherever they are. Father, we pray now that as we commit ourselves during this worship time to be reverent, to open our hearts, that you will bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Well, good morning. There's room for you right there if you'd like to sit down. How are you this morning? Do you know what I've got in my bag? Not something to eat. Take a look at that. You can pass it along. See if you can tell me what it is. You probably won't guess. I don't think you will. It's not a rock. It's kind of a rock, but it's not really a rock. You can pass it along so everybody can have a look at it. It's not a gemstone, although it can be turned into one. No. No. Okay. Nobody's guessing what it is. Yes, you're right, it is. It's gum. And it comes from a kauri tree from New Zealand. And the kauri tree is a big, big, giant tree. It's the second biggest tree in the world. What's the biggest tree in the world? Do you know what the biggest tree is? What is it? Have you seen redwoods? You haven't. Have any of you seen redwoods? They are big. They are huge. They go so high in the air that you can't hardly see the top of them, right, when you're standing at the bottom. And they're very big, round. In fact, I saw a picture of one that had a hole in it where a car could drive through. Have you seen that picture? So big. Did he? Yes. Well, the kauri tree in New Zealand is like that, except it's not as tall, but they grow as big and as round as the big redwoods. And when the early settlers came to New Zealand and they saw these trees, there were lots of them, especially in the North Island. They were cutting them down and milling them for timber. Well, one of the things that they discovered was that because there'd been kauri trees there for thousands of years, that this sap or this gum, can I have that piece? Thank you, Matthew. This gum, this is just a small piece, but sometimes they would find big rocks of it like this, and it was all over the ground, it was in the ground, it was everywhere. And so what they did with this was they actually collected it, they started collecting it and started to export it here to America. This is probably before Dow Chemical was established, and they actually turned it into varnish. And it was a big industry for New Zealand. It was the biggest industry. And so at one time, there was about 20,000 people collecting this gum. That was what they did for a living. And they could collect it and get very good money. In fact, they considered it to be like gold.
because they earned good money from it. And they would dig in the ground, and it was a dirty job, and it was hard work. You have a question? You know, you can kind of eat it. I'll tell you what the Maoris used to do with it. They used to boil it and soften it, and then they would add some kind of herb with it to give it a flavor, and then they would chew it like chewing gum. So they kind of did eat it, but no, I don't think you'd want to chew on that. Anyway, they were exporting this stuff, and many people were collecting it, and so, and a lot of them, their dream was that if they could collect enough of it and sell enough of it, they would have enough money to buy a farm, and they could have their own farm. And quite a few of them did obtain their dream to have a farm. But as they were collecting, and as it became rarer, and they weren't able to find it as easily as they used to, some of them got creative, and you'd guess what they did. It came from the kauri tree, so what do you think they did? They climbed up the kauri trees, yes, and these trees are so tall and just so high, they would climb up. In fact, they made these special boots that they could put spikes all around on their boots, and they had picks like ice picks, and they would climb up these trees right up into the branches, and then they would look, and in the crevice of the branches there, they would find big lumps of sap there, of gum. And so they would collect that. And some of them even started cutting the trees so that they would bleed, and then it would bleed for a while, and then it would get hard, and then they would collect that, and they were able to sell it. But that got made illegal because it was killing the trees. But you know, there was most of the immigrants to New Zealand were from where? Do you know? Do you know where they came from? Where do you think, Matthew? No, they weren't from the trees. I might look like a monkey, but not from the trees. Most of them were from England. But there were a group of people that came from Yugoslavia and Croatia. Not so many, but a few of them. And most of them were digging for this gum. And, you know, the interesting thing was that the British people, they were working either one person by themselves or two people. But the Dalmatians, as they were known, they would work in big groups of people together. They would work and they would dig together and they did everything together. This is very interesting because one day, as some men were cutting down these trees and they were getting ready to cut them to make boards from it, they came to this one tree, this big kauri tree, and they found a rope at the bottom of it. And so they cut down this tree, and when they cut it down, and they started to cut it up, and as they were cutting the big branches off the top, they found a dead man there, a skeleton of a man. And this man must have been all alone. He climbed up to the top of the tree, and he got there and was collecting his gum. He was so excited to get up there and get his gum that he didn't pay enough attention to his rope, and his rope fell to the ground. And to get way, way up there, he wasn't going to jump down, was he? He had no way of getting down, and the poor man died up there by himself, because he was all by himself. And so there's a good lesson in that for us. You know, I think of this illustration that, you know, we need each other, don't we? And this man was working alone. And that rope is like Jesus. When we're hanging on to Jesus, we're okay, right? But if we let go of Jesus, sometimes we can be in a predicament like this man up the tree, and we've got no one to help us. But if you're working together with other people, and you get stuck up there in a tree, they can throw a rope up, right, to help you. And people need Jesus, don't they? And so we can be working together and helping other people to take hold of Jesus, that rope, and so that they can be brought to safety. And so we always remember, there's a verse in the Bible that says, it's found in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one. If there was another one with that man up the tree, he wouldn't have died, would he? Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So remember, we always need each other. That's why we come to church, because we need each other. God wants us to be together as we worship. He wants us to come together during the week, doesn't he, for adventurers, pathfinders, and things like that, so that we can help each other and stay holding on to Jesus. Thank you for listening, and you can take your lesson back to your seat. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Luke 21 and verse 36. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles with me, Luke 21 and verse 36. These are the words of Jesus. They are printed in red. And Jesus says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." At this time, I'd like to welcome Pastor Santos to the pulpit and thank you very much for coming away from your congregation to be with us today and share what the Lord has put on your heart. Thank you.
Good morning, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Greenfield for inviting me to be at your pulpit today. Coming from the South Flint and also the Otter Lake Church, we want to express our welcome from your sister churches. You know, it's one thing about when you're in the family of God, you can go anywhere and still be part of one whole big family waiting for the soon coming of Jesus. Amen? And that's what we're excited about. And this is where everybody should be, in the house of God, waiting to worship God and honor Him and listening to His words. I also want to say a special thank you. It's a privilege when I get a chance to be invited that my family is able to come with me. I just want to introduce my lovely wife, Juliet. There, would you wave your hand so the congregation can see you? And my lovely daughter, Elizabeth. She's a senior at the Great Lakes Adventist Academy, just here for the home weekend. And I have another daughter that's at the academy, because there's some activity going on there this weekend. And my son, Michael, is here also to join us today. One of the things that I've noticed as I drove in and observed your church, we were here, I think it was about a year or so ago, when you had a Vesper concert with Jeremy Hall. And it was a wonderful opportunity for me to come to watch each one of you here and also enjoy the music. But I'm here today for this different reason. First of all, is to worship with you today with our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I'll be sharing more about that in our message, what's going to be happening this afternoon. So at this moment, I want you to bow your heads with me as we ask God to be with us as we open His Word. Let us pray. Loving Father, this moment I pause for a moment to seek Your divine Holy Spirit. I ask Your Father to use me as Your instrument to preach His message boldly and clearly for Your honor and glory. I pray, dear Father, let Your words be my words, Your thoughts be my thoughts. Bind the enemy and cast him out. He is not welcome at this place, dear Lord, as we open Your word, speak to us. And yet, Lord, help me to be able to share this message with simplicity that will reach to the hearts of everyone here. I promise I'll give You the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, whatever Jesus states is very important. In fact, what Jesus has to say is most important. Our lives depend on it. If we follow His counsel, we are blessed. If we reject His counsel, we are cursed. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. If you have your Bible, say I. You don't have your Bible, say aye, aye, aye. Should always have the Word of God when we come to the house of God. Amen? All right, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His" what? All His what? "Commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Amen? It's a powerful promise. But now also in Mark 16:16, on the other hand, it says, "He that believe and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Believe and live. Do not believe and die. That choice is yours." Now, is it just enough to believe, ladies and gentlemen? Let me ask you, yes or no? Is it enough to believe? If you believe, will you be saved because you believe? Let me tell you, the devils believe and yet they tremble, right? They are not going to be saved. What do you have to do? What do we have to do? We have to act on that belief, don't we? The story is told by a young couple in New York City. It was springtime. They were in love. Everything was beautiful in New York City. The trees were budding. The flowers were blooming. The birds were singing. As they were walking in Central Park, the young man was holding the hand of his sweetheart. They were walking through the park, and the young man took her hand and looked her into the eyes and said, "Sweetheart, will you marry me?" And she gave a big smile and said, "Yes." And everything was even more beautiful because they were in love at Central Park. As they were walking along, suddenly there was an old, big English sheepdog running across the park. And there were people running after the dog. And the young lady said, "Honey, why don't we help them catch that dog?" And so off they went. Stalwart young man followed behind her as she tried to confront that dog. It was too late for them to hear the crowd shouting, "Get out of the way! Get out of the way! Mad dog! Mad dog!" And that young lady, as she confronted the dog, that dog jumped on her and started biting her savagely left and right. And the young man comes to the rescue, trying to pull that dog apart. And he was struggling to do that. Finally, a policeman comes along, grabs his revolver, and shoots that dog dead. A young couple were rushed into the hospitals. They were in the emergency room. They were being treated. And a lawyer comes along and said, "I know the owner of the dog. In fact, he sent me here with these instructions for you and this envelope. As soon as you're discharged here, he wants you to fly down to Florida and take some treatment. There's a rabies treatment center there." Sure enough, the young lady, when she was discharged, she packed her bags, took that envelope, flew to Florida, and got treated. Meanwhile, that young man, because he just received a few scratches, he took his envelope and also the plane ticket. He cashed that in instead and bought himself a new wardrobe and made a down payment, a brand new sports car, and started seeing another young lady. Several weeks later, that young lady from Florida came back just in time for his funeral. You see, the young man only receiving a few scratches, all he did just every day was he would take a bottle of mercurochrome or iodine and he just slightly put some on his scratches. Every day he was faithful about it. See, the problem with that young man was that he did not believe a lie. He just didn't believe the truth, right? He didn't act on it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, your choice will either save you or kill you. Consider the words of Christ today as he spoke in the book of Luke. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17, as we begin our basis for our scriptures today in Luke, chapter 17. The words of Christ specifically in verse 20. Luke, chapter 17, verse 20. "And when he," Jesus, "was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with what?'" With what? The word is observation. That is correct. You see, people are always looking for something great before they will change their mind and stirring up their lives. Well, I want you to know that the Spirit of God does not come as you find it. Well, people are waiting that suddenly the Spirit will just strike you lightning and all of a sudden you go, "Woo, I've been meant by the Holy Spirit." Some people are waiting for that. It doesn't work like that. Some people are waiting for some magical change that will take place before they're going to believe that Jesus really loves them. Friends, God's words are sure. Amen? You can count on it. And when Jesus says you are forgiven, indeed, you are forgiven. Amen? You are forgiven. It's just like the thief on the cross. He couldn't come down when he was there on the cross hanging on the cross. You know what he said to Jesus? He turned around and said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. You see that thief? The thief who was there on the cross, the only words he could say, Lord, remember me. He couldn't come down and be baptized. The only thing he could do was look to Jesus and utter those words. Where was Jesus' disciples? They were trembling, hiding somewhere. And all who were left were a few soiled women and his fainting mother in the arms of one disciple, John. Not a word of encouragement from any of his disciples saying, hang on, Jesus, we're praying for you. Hang on. Not a word of encouragement saying, hold on, Jesus. Hold on. Hold on. Take courage. Instead, all he heard, all Jesus heard were cursing and swearing. But when somebody called him Lord, it got Jesus' attention. It got Jesus' attention. And Jesus looked at the thief and said, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Friends, that thief couldn't go back home and pay back what he had stolen from his mother. He deserved to die. He was a criminal. He was a murderer. He was no good. But when he said, Lord, remember me, Jesus heard him and his heart was changed. This man's heart was changed. Some of you here perhaps have a chance to be baptized. You're not nailed to the cross. Take that opportunity to make things right with God. Perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to note is that when Jesus comes again, because that thief on the cross made things right with God, I believe he's going to be there at the resurrection, don't you? Amen? You see, Jesus said the kingdom of God does not come with our observation. In the margin, it states, with outward show. In other words, friends, quit looking at other people as your example. The only example you should have is Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. The church is not a club for saints. It is a hospital for sinners. Quit looking for somebody to follow. What do you see in the hospital when you go in there? You see sick people. When you go into the hospital, you see people going there. Some of them don't even come out, right? Everybody that's in there is in one state or another. They're either going up or they're going down. That's the way the church is, isn't it, today? You have people that are getting well, and then you have people that are still going to hell. You see, if you don't look at people, you have to look on Jesus. And by the way, some of you may hear this. Some people say, Pastor, oh, I'm tired of going to church. All I hear about is when I go to church, they talk about money. Well, let me tell you this. When you go to Macy's and JCPenney's, you don't see anybody standing at the door of the store and saying, please don't go in there. All they want is your money. Right? Or you don't hear people in another place would be saying, Pastor, the reason why I don't go to church is because there are many hypocrites there. You ever heard that? You ever heard that? You know, as a pastor, I hear quite a bit of this kind of complaints from members themselves. And I tell them, when people come to me, I said, you go to work, don't you? There are hypocrites there too. And I said, if you take a little bit closer look in the mirror, you might find one there too. Some say, you know what, Pastor? You know, that's one of some of the reasons why I don't go to church. Ladies and gentlemen, quit looking at other people as your example. The easiest thing to do is to find fault. You know, as a pastor, I do hear a lot of faults being mentioned from members and even people that just come to church. They'll say, Pastor, I just don't like this. I just don't like the way you do church. Or, Pastor, I don't like the way this church looks. It's very this and that and so on. You know, when I tell the other people, I said, you know, being a vegetarian, it's no good if you eat other people by your words and your thoughts. I didn't hear too many amens from that. Here's a cute little poem. Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you see? I saw a mouse under the chair. Now what do cats look for? Mice, right? He went to London to see the Queen and all he saw was a lousy mouse, right? Because he was looking for a mouse. Ladies and gentlemen, some people come to church and all they come to look for is fault. And they find it because everybody is not perfect yet, except for Jesus. Amen? Here's another example. You look at Jesus, and He'll make all things better. And you know, in Scriptures, if you still have your Bibles open, look, continue as we go on to the next passage here in verse 22. Here it's talking about, there's going to be a famine in the land. Paraphrasing, basically in verse 22, it says, you're going to go to look for the Son of Man, and you're not going to find Him. You see, as soon as probation is going to close, they're going to look for the pastor, the spiritual leaders, the elders. You know, they're going to be asking, where is Pastor Dwight Nelson? Where's Pastor Greenfield? Where's Pastor Santos? Where's Pastor Batchelor? You know, the saddest words there ever will be spoken is, the summer is past and the harvest is ended and we are not what? Saved. Why? Because there's going to be a famine in the land. By the coming of Jesus, it will be like a lightning as in the days of Noah. And people, when they had the opportunity to prepare, did not prepare and do what they needed to do. If you notice this passage, by the way, this whole paragraph is stating here, Jesus was teaching them about the second coming. And it's talking about Noah. What kind of days were the days of Noah, but anyways? There were days of doubts and skepticism, days of coffers and jokers, days of doing whatever you please. You know, when Noah preached, everybody get in the ark, they were just laughing and mocking Noah. He preached for how long? How long did he preach, saints? 120 years. He preached for 120 years. How many people listened? How many really people came in the ark? Eight. You know, if he was working for a conference, he'd probably be laid off, right? Only eight souls in 120 years. That's terrible. But the thing is, Noah did what he had to do. He preached. He preached what he was given, and ladies and gentlemen, he did what he was being obedient to what God told him. You see, my friends, as you continue here in verse 28, I hope you have your Bible somewhere. In verse 28, it says here, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, now he goes on to Lot after Noah, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, but on the day of Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is in the housetop, it continues in verse 31. It talks about someone in the house that will be taken away. But I want you to focus especially in verse 32 because Jesus then preaches the shortest sermon here. It says here, remember Lot's wife. Now why do we have to remember Lot's wife? We don't even know her first name, right? You see, as you study the scriptures a little bit deeper, you will find out that as you will discover that Mrs. Lot was not a very spiritual woman. You see, God had marked Sodom and Gomorrah for destruction, and out of the four that were saved, only three survived. Genesis 13:13 states that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They weren't just bad, they were terrible, they didn't just smell, they were rotten. Wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know, when you're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, sin was second nature to them. They just enjoyed sinning. God was the farthest thing from their mind. Let me just ask you here in review with you, what is sin? 1 John 3:4 emphatically states, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of what, friends? The law. You see, Romans 6:23 states, the wages of sin is death. That is right. Very clearly spelled out. Sin is breaking the law, and you broke the law, you're going to die. Sin is a
hard and painful paymaster you pay with your life. See, the devil tempts us, sin now and pay later on the credit plan, and interest piles up. See, when it's time for you to go, death will find you wherever you are. You may be riding in a car, you could be riding on a plane, you could be sitting on your nice recliner, maybe shopping. But if it's time for you to go and death will find you, he's going to jump on your back and wrap his arm around you and kiss you on the lips. Let me tell you how close this came to me. Several years ago, as I was driving in the city of Flint, Michigan. How many of you have been to Flint, Michigan? That's a wicked city, isn't it? I passed through that city. It's Flint, Michigan. I remember at that point I was driving. I just got out from a district pastor's meeting, and I was getting on to the I-75 freeway, and all of a sudden, a state police cuts me off with his SUV, a state trooper. And he cuts me off, blocks the entrance, and blocks the exit, and he comes out of his SUV, and he pulls out his gun, and he goes like this to the oncoming van exiting. And he said, "Stop!" Going like this. You better believe it got my attention, right? I was there watching the whole thing. And as the approaching van came, it screeched to a halt, and the driver got out of his van, and he pointed to him, said, "Put your hands up." He went like this. And the other passenger, on the other hand, got out, but he was not in the view of the state trooper. He got out this way, and that was where I was, where Reed was sitting right there. That's where I was waiting and parked. And as he came out, he pulled out a gun. State police could not see it. And I yelled from where Reed was. I was yelling and said, "He's got a gun! He's got a gun!" And it just happened split second here. This man just started shooting at the state policeman. And there was a shootout. And you're seeing this happening before your eyes. You're hearing loud gunshot. Bam, bam, bam. And they were dodging the bullets, and the state police went around the vehicles, and by the time they turned around, I was in the line of fire. I had a choice to make. I could either duck, but if I duck, I'd miss out on all the action. I wouldn't see this. I've never seen anything like this before, maybe on TV. But you know what? I said, but if I pick, you know, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to get hit. And sure enough, as they were shooting and firing, finally, this huge man that was shooting at the state policeman, he was an escaped convict. He escaped, and they were chasing him. And as they were firing, I could see in my very own eyes, he gets hit right here, and he falls down to the ground, dead. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to note, I was in the line of fire. I could have been hit by that, but you know what? Jesus took that line of fire that we're supposed to be hit by that bullet. And it was only by the grace of God that you and I are here today. Romans 6:23 states, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen? He took that hit. You see, my friends, by God's grace, we can look forward to His soon coming because He gives each of us a new life. Friends, I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to the soon coming of Jesus, aren't you? This is why we're here. This is why not only we come to worship, because we're preparing for the soon coming of Jesus. See, not only that, you see, I have another reason why I'm looking forward to the soon coming of Jesus. You know, I may still look young to you, but really my body doesn't feel like that anymore. In my youthful years, I used to play basketball and football, and I was pretty good at it. In fact, they used to give me a nickname then, Magic Fingers. That's even before Magic Johnson got his nickname. And I was good and played, but you know now, when I got up this morning, it was hard to get up at bed, you know, but some achy joints. And right here, I was in front of the computer reviewing my message today, and this joint really hurts. My wife said, "Hon, why don't you take an Advil?" Have you ever heard that before, folks? You see, I'm looking forward to where I don't have to run out of breath and I can get up in the morning. But you know what? That's going to happen when Jesus comes. Amen? He's going to give us a new body. Yeah, the wages of sin hurts. Sin always hurts. Ladies and gentlemen, life and death is up to you. The choice is yours. And no one in their right mind chooses death because the choice is simple. You live, obey and live, disobey and die. You know what God intends at this point is when He establishes laws and principles is to help His people from getting hurt. Right? That's why when God says stop, He means what? Oh, you know what? If I just heard that little stop, if I'm a little kid, I'd still put my hand in the cookie jar and take that cookie. You know, when God says stop, ladies and gentlemen, He means what? Stop. You know, that reminds me the kind of stop I'm hearing here. It reminds me of a young man dating this young lady, and they were out late at night, and this young man started to put his hands where he should not be, and the young lady said, "Stop!" And he kept doing what he's doing. You see, when God says stop, there was a reason for this. God means what? Let's try this group again. When God says stop, He means what?
Stop.
A little better. Let's try this group. When God says stop, He means what?
Stop.
A little better. When God says stop, He means what?
Stop.
That is right. That's what God means. Because He doesn't want any of us to get hurt, right? That's why He gives us His words, His principles, and His laws, and if people will just obey it, would follow it and trust God, there would be no problem. You see, what had happened is this. Sodom and Gomorrah were so wicked and perverted, they didn't care what God said. The Lord said, "I've determined this place for destruction." Abraham pleaded for mercy, said, "Lord, I know the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, they're a little bit disobedient. They weren't following your words and your laws. But what if there were some people that were righteous or kind there, right? Would you destroy this place?" Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. God said, "Abraham, I'm willing to listen to your case." Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you plead for mercy for the people in Midland? Bay City, Detroit, or Flint? And Lansing and saying, "Lord, please don't destroy this place yet. Because we haven't knocked at the door of their houses, their homes. Please, God, give them another chance." Remember, Abraham said, "Lord, what if there were 50 people? Will you destroy this place?" Right? And God said, "Okay, I won't destroy it." "What if there were 40 people? Will you destroy this place?" "Okay, I won't destroy it." Lord, take it back. "What about 30 people? Will you destroy this place?" You know, it went down to there was not even 10 people that are righteous enough. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Abraham pleaded with God when there were not even 10 righteous people who loved God more than anything else. There was a storm coming, and you see, a lot of people are excited about so many other things except the things that really mattered. And sometimes when you think about it, even in church, right? People are excited about so many other things instead of what really mattered in preparing for the soon coming of Jesus. Men and women, children were so perverted, they sang and acted and spoke out sounds like many things they see in the movies today. There's sex, violence, men looking at men, women looking at women like they should never. Satan, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't care how he gets you as long as he gets you. Right? As long as he gets you. Be careful when you listen to the words of the Lord. I want you to note he's telling us something here that we should remember. See, let's go back to the passage here in when Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Let's go back to that story. You see, the angels had to grab Lot. You see, Lot was dragging his feet. And the angels said, "You know, go tell your family members, we're going to destroy this place." You know, can you imagine Lot going to his relatives, his son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and saying, "Come on, kids, we got to come. God's going to destroy this place." And instead, they were saying, "Dad, are you crazy? We like it here. We're so comfortable here. We just bought a new house. We just bought a new boat. Are you kidding? We like it here. You can imagine. They just didn't listen. And finally the angel said, go grab whoever's in your home. There were two daughters. Said, come on out. And the angels had to literally grab them and drag them out. And you see, as all four of them were coming out, Lot was still dragging his feet. And you know who was dragging a little bit slower? Mrs. Lot, right? Mrs. Lot was dragging a lot slower. You see, she was very upset. She had to leave the beautiful things behind. You know, the angels, they grabbed them. Mrs. Lot did not like what she had to leave behind. You see, she had just finished a nice recarpeting of her new home, decorated her home. She had some beautiful Venetian blinds in her living room. She had just painted it passion pink. She had a nice entertainment center, this HD TV plasma with Bose digital surround sound. And she was going to miss her soaps that she watched daily as the world turned. And all my little devils. You see, a lot of things, Mrs. Lau was all caught up with the shows like The Bachelor, because she likes to watch all those lusty scenes and when they kiss and when they make out. You know, when they kiss, it's just not like the ordinary peck on the cheek, right? It's just like chewing an apple, you know, like this. Oh, like this. See, Mrs. Lott got her new DVDs and new CDs and wanted to listen to her latest pop singer. She was excited about the wrong things. She was not excited about God. Lot was saying, honey, please don't look behind. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about those things. God is already saving us. And you see, as they were leaving that city, I want you to know several things, ladies and gentlemen. Mrs. Lot was already saved, right? She was already slated to be saved and set aside. Except she turned around and there she turned into a pillar of salt. Friends, the dog has turned to its vomit. When God delivers you, you run away from the temptations of the world. Quit talking about the things you used to do. Jesus says, go and sin what? No more. Forget the past. Whatever things that happened in the past, don't worry about it. See, let me tell you this. You know, I'm looking at time. Time is running out here. And I'm just in my introduction. I want you to note, beloved, Jesus is looking forward to people who say, Lord, I'm your instrument. Use me. You know, the time that we live here, it's not like the time it was 5 years ago. Or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. Some of you have been coming to this church for all this time and said, oh, yes, I've heard about Jesus being soon coming again. Let me tell you this. You know, by Monday, if nothing happens, there's going to be a government shutdown here in the state of Michigan, right? They said it's never happened in its history. Are you aware of all the things that's going on? There's so many things happening in the world that's telling us of Jesus soon coming. One young lady just a few days ago, I was sitting with one of my members and saying, Pastor, would you be willing to baptize this young lady? I've been giving Bible studies to her. And the only thing is she's a Muslim. And you see, being a Muslim, when you give your heart to the Lord and turn your back from being a Muslim, it's not just turning your back around from a Baptist or a Church of God denomination. I sat this young lady down. I said, are you aware of the risk you're taking by wanting to be baptized? Because that member who told me, he said, Pastor, if the mom ever finds out she is going to be baptized, she's going to kill her. And they live in Flint. They live in Flint, ladies and gentlemen. So we have to do something that that I want to know to have a baptism where we could do this in a way that would not risk her life. But you know what she told me? She said, Pastor, it's no risk at all. It's no risk at all. I'm willing to be baptized. And that man who was giving her the Bible studies, you know what he told me? He said, Pastor, you know, her baptism is worth 100 baptisms. You know why? Because she's willing to die for this. Some of you were baptized. You were threatened with death. This young lady, when I baptized her, I want you to pray for me. I'm not even giving you any other clues or her name. Because I have to do it in a place where no other relative or friend of their relative may see this. You see, we're living in a time where time is running out. Jesus is soon to come. Amen? You see, this is the time that you and I need to realize, you know, it's not like the normal church anymore. We don't just come from week to week. How many of you would like to see Jesus come in your lifetime? Amen? I sure would like to see Jesus come again. I don't want God to bury another generation of Adventists because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. Right? See, right here in Midland, I saw my family and I were driving in. I said, this is a wonderful community. But not necessarily because of what's out there. The potential of people hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? You think about it. That's why this afternoon we're doing a seminar. We're doing a seminar a seminar you've never heard before. I'm going to invite each one of you to be there. If you had an appointment, this afternoon, set it aside. You don't want to miss this one. You don't want to miss this one. I don't care if you have another agenda, set it aside because what you're going to hear is going to be dramatic in a sense of what the Lord wants to do in your life in this church. Because if you really believe that Jesus is coming soon, I believe He's anxious to pour out His Holy Spirit upon you. See, Lot missed his chance, right? He missed a chance. He made a wrong choice. You know what? If Lot was so filled with the Holy Spirit, he could have shaken Sodom and Gomorrah and that would never have been burned, right? Instead, he just lived among the people and just did what he normally did and did not become the witness that he was supposed to be. Let me share this with you in closing. This is a parable that took place in World War II. It was during one of the concentration camps that was going around. It was a Russian parable, but that went like this. One day, a young man went to Jesus and asked the question, Master, why did Solomon, in the peak of his career, he was king. He had wisdom, he had wealth, he had women. Why did he say vanity and vanity, all is vanity? Jesus looked at the young man and said, young man, I'm not going to answer that. Just follow me as I go from one village to another. So the young man followed Jesus, and he watched Jesus carefully as he preached about the kingdom of his heavenly Father. He watched Jesus as he touched the eyes of the blind man and made him see again. And he watched Jesus. He made the lame to walk again. And from one village to another, finally it was noontime. The hot Palestinian sun was bearing down upon Jesus and disciples. And Jesus was perspiring. And Jesus leaned upon a rock and he said, young man, would you do me a favor and get me a cup of water? The young man said, sure, master. I'd be glad to do that. Off he went to the nearest village and he knocked at the nearest door. And as he knocked, the door opened and there was a beautiful young lady who opened the door and said, may I help you? Can I just get a cup of water from you? And as the young lady was listening, her father came and said, oh, young man, you look tired and perspiring here. Come on in. We're just about to have lunch. And as this young man was seated in their dining room, he was in a gorgeous dining room with delicious food set up. And this young man ate and ate. And after lunch, the father said, let me show you around. And he showed this young man all his property, his mansion. And as they went out to the fields, they said, you know, as far as you can see, that all belongs to me. All of that belongs to me. The story goes on. Several months later, this young man falls in love with this young lady. And they get married. And they have two kids. They have two boys. And this young father was taking out his boys out in the field. And he said, kids, you see, as far as you can see, all of this belongs to me. And one of the little boys said, Dad, look at the sky. What's that? Something dark. It's a dark cloud the size of a man's fist. It's coming towards us. All of a sudden, the clouds came faster, and suddenly thunder and lightning and torrential rain poured down. And as they watched, a storm came through. They ran for cover. All of a sudden, a huge flash flood came towards them as they were running towards shelter and a rock. They looked from behind. This young father saw the water sweeping and destroying all their house and property. And as he was trying to grab for the rock, he grabs hold of his two young boys. And the waters were so strong, the current strong, he was not able to hold on to them, and they slipped away and drowned. The young father there on top of the rock was crying, said, Lord, why me? Why me? Why this? All these calamities and problems. All of a sudden, he hears a voice behind him. Young man, did you get that cup of water I asked you? He turns around, and there he sees Jesus. And he says, oh, no, Master, Lord Jesus, I forgot about that errand you asked me to do. Lord, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I just got all caught up with life and getting married and all this, and having kids and just having a life here. I forgot what you asked me to do. And Jesus turns to this young man and says, young man, according to your timetable, it's been many years that you have left me. It's been many years that you've forgotten about me. But according to my timetable, it's only been half an hour. Come back, my son. Come back. And I said, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace and mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus is calling upon us. There's some of you Jesus has called many years ago, given you a mission that you're supposed to have in life. And perhaps we have set it aside by getting so busy with our work or whatever it may have been. But Jesus, come back. I need you. I need you before my soon coming. Come back. Ladies and gentlemen, more than ever before, Jesus is looking for people who would respond and say, yes, Lord, count me in. Yes, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be a part. And some of you are listening from the congregation and will say, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm retired. Let me ask you this question. Do you know how old Moses was when he started his ministry? He was 80 years old, wasn't he? And God used Moses to lead a group of people out of Exodus into the get them ready to go to the promised land. Some of you here may say, Pastor, I'm a young adult. I have a young family. You know, you don't know what it's like trying to make ends meet. You know the words that Pastor Greenfield read in Luke chapter 21, but take heed to yourselves, in verse 34, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that they will come to you, what? Unexpectedly. For it shall come as a snare upon those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all that these things will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. What do you say? Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for pouring out your grace and mercy upon each of us here today. Dear Lord, we are undeservingly here, but yet you pour out your blessings and mercies upon us. Dear Father, I pray as we have come here to worship you and listen to your divine word. You are speaking to the hearts. Your Holy Spirit is speaking to the hearts of everyone here. How many of you would like to say before the Lord, Lord, will you use me as your instrument in whatever capacity that is to hasten your soon coming, to advance your kingdom here? And if that is your desire, will you raise your hands? If your desire is that, Lord, use me as your instrument, raise your hands really up high. Oh, Lord God Almighty, please. Please, oh Lord, not only bless us, dear Lord, with your Spirit, but the anointing of your Spirit, that you can indeed help us to make a saving impact upon our lives. Because, dear Father, I believe that saving impact may be a family member, a relative, or a friend who needs to hear the hope of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We thank you that you speak truth to us, and as you speak truth to us, it is your means of saving us. We ask that in response to the message that we've heard, that we will leave this place with new determination to order our lives, making our Father's business our business. And Father, we pray that you will give us a heart of true repentance if that has not been the case in the past, that we will have your ability to see things in the future, to see what is coming upon this world as an overwhelming surprise. Father, help us to prepare to stand in that day. And as we leave this place, Father, may you direct the rest of the Sabbath hours. May we be blessed as we attend the seminar, as we learn about the wonderful blessings of small groups. Lord, we pray that you will bless this church, bless us, as we seek to be all that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at MidlandSDA.org.